So a site, what we call a site, is basically a discrete place where evidence of past human activity is found.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Brandy McDonald. I'm a fourth year undergraduate student here at McMaster. I'm studying archaeology, and my work is based on the northwest coast of British Columbia, and I work with my supervisor, Dr. Aubrey Cannon.
Rudy Reimer. I do northwest coast archaeology. I'm here at McMaster University doing my PhD, and I'm working with my supervisor, Dr. Aubrey Cannon, and I've just started this past semester, and hope to be in the field this coming spring and summer and fall. Be working here probably for another 3 to 4 years, and I'm originally from the Squamish Nation. That's where I'm doing my research, which is on the south coast of BC.
Is it sort of the same as being a paleontologist, or no?
It's not exactly. We don't deal with things like dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
We deal with humans.
Oh, humans.
Hominid species.
Well, I visited Pompeii years ago, Italy, and we did a little bit of research last year on it.
So you guys remember what happened at Pompeii, right? The volcano, and all the lava and volcanic ash came down, and everyone was like frozen in time, right? So that's how we got a really good idea of what happened there. Whenever I ask people what they think archaeology is, I get a lot of people saying, Indiana Jones! Right? He's a treasure hunter? Mm-hmm. That's not archaeology. In a nutshell, archaeology is the study of the human past through scientific exploration of preserved cultural materials. So what we do is we take things we dig up in the ground and use science a lot of the time and look and try and understand what these things were and what that can tell us about the people that were alive back then. Archaeology is a subdiscipline of anthropology. And the different subdisciplines are cultural anthropology, physical anthropology, linguistics, and archaeology. Cultural anthropologists don't look at people in the past, they look at people that are living today. Physical anthropology, what do you guys think that is?
Looking at bodies.
Bodies. Physical anthropology, yeah.
Bones?
Bones, exactly. Bones, bones, bones. Physical anthropologists love bones. So yeah, physical anthropologists also study things like evolution and DNA, primatology, and so the study of monkeys and apes and their behaviors, and also the study of infectious diseases and plagues and illness and that kind of stuff. It's kind of crossed with a bit of medical anthropology, so there are many different subdisciplines you can kind of reach out into when you're studying anthropology. So.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. How do apes turn into people?
Well, apes don't turn into people. Millions and millions of years ago, their apes and humans had a common ancestor. We both evolved from the same ancestor, but we evolved very differently. When people say we evolved from apes, that's technically not correct, but we have a common ancestor. That's what one of the theories is.
Some of the goals of archaeologists are to recreate culture histories and past ways of life, and trying to understand how cultures developed to be the way they are today over thousands and thousands of years. We try and understand what's in the archaeological record, so the material culture that we find. Another goal is that we try very hard to preserve archaeological heritage, so that's why we have things like museums and research institutions where we keep all of these ancient things that we found, because they're very rare. We try our best to maintain them and make sure they don't get lost or broken, and the appropriate people have them as well. So those are some of the main goals of archaeologists. An artifact is a human-made item. So you can use materials, any kinds of materials. So for example, here I have some ceramics. So these are pieces of pipes that were made out of clay. And these are pretty old. So I'm going to put them on here. If you guys want to have a look, and just slide that around. And then we have pieces here. This is all broken and chipped pottery, but it's very old. It's a couple hundred years old. And they're from Iroquoian sites in southern Ontario. So they're very local. Mm-hmm. You can see the different colors and different styles from these. These are the kinds of, they're called pottery shirts, the things that we find that are old.
So how do you know that that's just not rock?
Because it's clay. It's manufactured in a certain way, and you can tell by looking at it under microscopes. Another thing that archaeologists look at are called, we call them features. Basically, is a feature, is something like, you were saying, like a town or a house, or something like a fire pit or a human burial. You can't really move, you can't pick it up and hold it. It's usually quite large, and by excavating it, you would be taking it apart. There are also ecofacts. What they are unmodified natural materials that we find. So for example, a deer antler. If we would find this at an archaeological site, we know that it's from an animal, obviously. So, or for example, if you find things like seeds and animal remains that haven't been modified. So the difference between that would be something like this, where this would be like a deer bone that they would have carved into a harpoon and used it for hunting. That's the difference between an ecofact and an artifact. So a site, what we call a site, is basically a discrete place where evidence of past human activity is found.
Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Are these carved out of wood?
No, that's antler.
Yeah.
So that's a deer antler, and that's deer bone.
They look like wood.
So different types of artifacts that archaeologists look at are lithics. Lithics are all tools made of stone. Here are some examples of different types of scrapers and points. You guys can take these out if you want, but be careful not to drop them because they will break. And then you have ceramics, which are things made out of clay, like pottery and like the pipe stems I was showing you. That's a scraper.
That's
a lithic. That's a lithic.
Stone.
Yeah, but what was it for us?
That is a scraper?
Like the scraper. Not the scraper?
That'd be like
sharpening things?
Like cracking a nut open by dropping it on them or
sharpies?
I heard that they used to use rocks like that to break another rock and sharpen its edge.
Take a look at this edge here and see how it's shaped.
Is that like for carbon wood?
It's probably an axe. Could have been used for chopping.
He didn't look that sharp, but...
Yeah, the other end's blunt, so you could use the other side for a hammer. Well, you would have had to get another rock, like a sedimentary rock that you mentioned earlier, that you could use to grind and polish this rock, which is more of an igneous rock, into this shape. So people would have had to know about some of the geology and some of the rocks on the surface of the land.
Got some other pieces, some other lithics here that you guys might be interested in seeing. These are all made of different types of stone. They look kind of like the points that you've been seeing in the packages there.
Yep.
Well, something like this, Levallois flake. This type of tool technology is associated with Neanderthals. They were alive maybe 100,000 years ago.
They were like prehistoric people.
They were the ones that made stone tools kind of like this. There's different kinds of tool technologies that are associated with different time periods and different groups of people, and that's how we identify the kinds of people that were alive.
Something to pick meat off a bone.
Maybe you'd attach it onto a fishing rod and maybe fish. Do they have those back then? Well, not that kind of fishing rod, but just like maybe you'd fish with it.
Is it a weapon?
An arrowhead?
A spearhead?
Spearhead? No. This is called a drill. So basically, when people were trying to put holes in pieces of wood or punching holes into animal hides and animal skins to make clothing or shelter.
A lot of stone tools that we find on sites are very similar to the tools that we have in modern day. So we've already seen an example of an axe and a hammer, a drill. Other things that you might see are very similar to saws. If you look in a toolbox today of a carpenter or a woodworker, you could take those similar types of tools and people probably would have had very similar items only made out of stone thousands of years ago. That's one way we try and interpret some of the materials that we dig up from the sites.
Noam Chomsky, you're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
What's in that thing, this funky thing?
This?
Yeah. So look, that's down. Another skull.
Yeah.
That looks like a deer.
Deer? What makes you think it's
bear?
A deer?
Mm-hmm. What do you wolf?
Why do you think it's a deer?
Look at the teeth. Right?
Oh, because it looks like...
A wolf?
Yeah. Oh, big. Nostrils.
Long snout?
Yeah. Is that like an anteater or something?
Anteaters are smaller. One of the main things we look at as archaeologists when we study animal bones is that if you look carefully at the teeth, it can usually tell you what kind of animal it is. Yeah. It's probably a really, really big deer.
If you find a skull or a mammoth, you say, and you transport it to someplace else, and then the person who, like, say you transported it to the other place a long time ago, and the person who transported it died, and everybody, and then do you know where it's from?
It's a good question. If someone brings in an artifact, if they don't know where it comes from, it's very hard for the archaeologist to interpret, to find out where those items were from, and possibly how old they are. So it's very important when we practice archaeology that we record a lot of information of where we find things, what condition they were in when we found them, and make sure that they're stored properly with those records. So then when people ask those questions, we can answer them to our best of our ability. Carbon dating, radiocarbon dating, is the most common dating method used in North American archaeology. And carbon dating only works on organic materials. So if we look at this rock, we couldn't carbon date stone tools directly. What we would need are bones or antlers or shell materials that have organic content to them. Because organic things absorb carbon during their life, but when they die, they stop absorbing that carbon, and then it decays at a certain rate. And so by knowing how it decays over time, we can measure the amount of decay, and then with formulas, figure out how old that particular item was. Mm-hmm. So if we were to radiocarbon date this deer skull, all we would need is a small piece for a sample that would have organic material still in it. And then we'd send that to a lab, and they would zap it with
lasers
and stuff, and then the computer would calculate the age. But it's a very reliable dating technique, and it's useful for dating materials as recent as 200 years ago, all the way back to 50,000 years ago. And there are other ways of dating rocks and other materials, but they're not used as much.
The kinds of classes that we take here, there's archaeological interpretation classes where you basically look at different things like ceramics and lithics and animal remains so that you're able to identify them by eye, just by looking at them.
History
and archaeology, everybody thinks they're the same thing, but they're very different. They're very different in their approaches and the kinds of questions that they ask. And I mean, if you're interested in things like Roman archaeology, classical archaeology, yeah, you can definitely do a combination of both of those.
It really depends if you want to get really specialized in one aspect of archaeology. So if you wanted to study animal remains, you could take a course in what we call zoo archaeology. But you also might want to take some courses in ecology and biology, because you'd have to know not only about the bones, these animals, but how they behaved, what environments they would inhabit, and how people would have utilized them in the past. So archaeology draws upon a lot of different fields in terms of methods, but the way we interpret the data that we get from sites is related more to culture rather than to biology or ecology. Mm-hmm. Archaeology tends to be quite a mishmash of many different fields, mm-hmm. but has its own unique approach.
What's the best thing about for you, I mean, as archaeologists, what do you really enjoy about archaeology?
It's just so challenging trying to be able to put together a history of something that nobody knows anything about, and just using these little clues that we have and trying to understand what it all means and what that can say. It's like a big puzzle.
Like detectives.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. Kind of like a little bit of forensics, like CSI kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's how you recreate history.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't have things like texts and writing to understand what was happening. Like, for example, Rudy and I, the work that we do is based on Northwest Coast archaeology that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. So all we have are things like shell middens and burials, mm-hmm. and human remains and animal remains. And it's just really interesting to keep trying to figure out different ways of looking at what we find to understand what was happening.
For me, it's that I really like going into the field, and a lot of times you get to hop in a big four-wheel drive truck and drive up these logging roads, or you get to hop in a boat and travel across to an island and go look for sites. So it's a lot of fun being outside, actually discovering the sites where people lived and used resources throughout an area. The actual discovery part of archaeology I find quite enjoyable.
Seeing something like this in a lab is neat, but when you actually find it, when you're out in the field, is way neater. Something like this, which is a foot. You guys want to pass it around?
So if we were to look at a bone, we can test some of that bone and find out what signatures of what elements are present in it. We can find out if they're eating a lot of marine resources, coming from the sea, the oceans, the creeks, lakes, and rivers, or if they're eating more food from the land or terrestrial resources, such as deer and moose and rodents. So that's another way we can analyze bones, both animal and human, to find out what those particular things were eating. Any guesses on this one?
Steve, is it for lighting fires?
Lighting fires? You would need wood. Something made of wood instead of stone.
Like, don't
you? Scrape the thing
with that and scrape it. But why is there a hole in it? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can hang it on a necklace and carry it around with you, and then when you need a fire, you can use that and help
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, items like this, it's sometimes very hard to say. But yeah, I think it is made out of flint that's smooth. And yeah, it may have been indeed hung on a necklace and used both as decorative, sort of stylish jewelry, but also had a functional aspect too. So you could, when you're out in the woods, camping around, hunting or gathering plants, you need to warm up and have lunch. You could start a fire using flint and another rock to create a spark. So a lot of items do have a function, but they also have a style as well.
So for example, I've got some pieces of shells and jewelry. And these are made out of rock, shell, stone, and bone. These would have been worn on necklaces or bracelets as decorations. Stratigraphy. Do you guys understand the idea of stratigraphy? So think about when you're doing something like baking a cake, and you got three or four different layers. You have the bottom layer is chocolate, and you have some icing, and then the next layer is vanilla, and then some more icing, and then you got your top layer. So when you cut down on that cake halfway, you can see the different layers. And basically you know that the layers on the bottom you put down first, so they're older. So as you get closer and closer to the top, they get younger. So that's how when we're doing excavations, we find artifacts that are above or below, we know that these artifacts are relatively younger than these ones. Imagine living in a house and there is no such thing as garbage collection. But you made lots of garbage, obviously, with your animal remains and the things you were eating. And say you had a pot and you broke it, you're going to throw it out, obviously, right? So usually what you would find in areas of houses, you would find something called a midden, which is basically a garbage pile. But they're very important to archaeologists because that's where we find a lot of really interesting things. So imagine picking through your garbage. What are the kinds of things that you would find if you were to pick through your garbage today?
Like the moldy food.
Moldy food, yeah.
Fish bones.
So if you were to look through your garbage, what kinds of things do you think you would be able to tell about? Like say you were looking through your friend's garbage. What do you think you'd be able to tell about him or her?
What they
were,
messier.
The kinds of things they were eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. How they were living, right? So the things they were eating, the kinds of items they had in their house.
If something broke, you usually throw it away. Mm-hmm. So you can find a lot of items, maybe broken furniture or broken tools.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that you see on the table here are complete, and it's very lucky that we find them complete. Usually, a lot of the times, a lot of the implements that we do find are broken because it's just natural behavior. When you break something, you go, oh, you just throw it away.
Here's some examples of the kinds of things that archaeologists do, like the kinds of work that they do day to day. So here's a picture of some field work. So this is a picture of an excavation, and basically when archaeologists go out and they dig, they make big squares, and then they dig down and take very meticulous records of what they find, and they keep doing measurements and bagging artifacts and soil that they find. This is a picture of a person with an auger,
basically auguring is a way of testing for finding sites. So it's like a big tube that you shoot down into the ground and you pull it up, and if you see different certain things in the dirt, then you'll know that there's a site there. So that's how we do testing, to find out if there's sites there. And it's really hard to push it down, so you usually have to get a big, strong guy like Rudy to push it down. You usually hire one to take with you to the field.
So it's not all glamorous.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely not glamorous.
Back-breaking work.
Yeah, it is. The kinds of things that we do here in university is lab work. We have lots of labs down here where we do tons of different kinds of analysis on archaeological materials. So what we do is we go out into the field, take what we can, and then come back to the lab and do research. This is a picture of some students who are cataloging things. Basically, when we have an assemblage, which is a group of artifacts and remains from a site, we catalog them so we know where they came from, which is really important when you're trying to reconstruct the history of a site. Historic archaeology is the study of different sites that were inhabited by people after contact, so after like Christopher Columbus came and Europeans started coming over to North America and colonizing. We have lots of textual records, so written records of the things that were going on. And metals, that's one of the things that some of the Europeans brought over, were certain types of metals and different uses for metals that weren't here before. They used some types of metal here before Europeans, obviously, but after they came, they changed the form as well. So this is a picture of a shell midden. Remember I was talking about a midden? So imagine being out in the forest in British Columbia and finding a snowbank, but it's not a snowbank. It's nothing but seashells. Millions and millions and millions of seashells. Those are leftovers from people who were eating shells as their main diet, so food source. So then you would end up with these huge, huge piles of shells.
When we were looking at these projectile points, or the spearheads, arrowheads, you probably notice that they're different kinds. And what we do in archaeology is we try and find similar kinds of arrowheads or spearheads and assign them to different time periods. And from this, we create what we call our typologies. So when you find an artifact and look at your typology, you can say that type of arrowhead dates from 8,000 to 6,000 years ago. So it's very similar when you look at things like old cars. The styles of cars changed over time. And that happens far, far, far back into human history, that we can look at different styles of artifacts and find out what certain types existed at certain time periods. And then just by looking at that artifact, you can say it's that old or it's within a time range.
So you just said that some of the risks of archaeology, like, I mean, what are some of the dangers you've just mentioned? Bears? And
bears. Some of the other dangers are actually other people in the woods. Sometimes there might be hunters, and if they hear something crackling in the bush, they might shoot. Other things are, yeah, most typically it's the weather. If you get stuck out in the wilderness in really bad weather, a lot of rain or snow. I've almost caught hypothermia a few times.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.